Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Oregon House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development. Again, on this fine day of, what day is this? The 10th, February 10th. It feels like it's the 28th.
Wishful thinking.
Very much looking forward to this informational hearing today, so thank you all for being here. People will may be wandering in and wandering out. A lot of us are double booked and need to testify on bills and other committees, so please just go with the flow as we come and go because of our other obligations. I'd like to open the informational hearing on Biocatalyst, a public-private success story. And I believe we're going to start off today with Mr. McNanny. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That is beautifully pronounced.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. I apologize. I will need to step out. I shouldn't be just but a few minutes. I'll turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Davis in my absence.
Thank you.
I feel marginalized.
Let me start off by thanking the chair, distinguished members of the committee. We really appreciate taking the time. For a couple reasons. Number one, we get to discuss good news, and it seems like sometimes there's precious little of that. But we have some spectacular news related to a biocatalyst program, which was originally a House bill approved. Appropriation was a House bill that was approved in 2014. I'd like to start by thanking the governor's team and specifically Business Oregon, and more specifically, Karen Godden, I think, is somewhere in the room. There she is. They were not only instrumental in helping us craft the original legislation, but were instrumental in helping us execute. And it was my first time really having to execute on some sort of an appropriation. I couldn't have had a better mentor, and their staff was professional and very helpful. So I wanted to give that feedback. I'd also like to thank Senator Devlin and Representative Gallegos, who are both instrumental on the legislative side in helping us shepherd the appropriation bill through. Just to refresh people's memory, and I know that we've entered into testimony, the executive committee as well as the performance report that we prepared for Oregon, Business Oregon. The idea was to recruit 100 applicants and provide a first of its kind in the nation immersion training. No other organization we're aware of, bioscience related, has ever done something like this before, so we predicted we'd have good results, but the idea was to recruit 100 people, and the goal was to place 25% of them at an average wage of $70,000. We calculated, I think, that was going to be a two-year payback on the cost of the program, but that it would have incalculable benefits for the people involved that we're able to employ. We have the pleasure of reporting much better results than that. The final results, which are documented in the report you have, was 74 people placed, 59 in full-time positions with an average wage of $87,000. This was fundamentally out of order of magnitude above what we thought we were going to be able to get. But the real story is not in the numbers in many of these cases. The real story is in the people that either employed these graduates or the graduates themselves. So we have the opportunity to talk to some of those individuals today, and I want to cede the microphone first to the person who was most responsible for the deploying the program, but I'll take any questions you might have right now, and I'll probably circle back at the very end with just some final comments. No questions? All right. Excellent. I'd like to pass the mic off to Julie Black, who is the director of our workforce training program, and it's her diligent leadership that led to much of the success this program enjoyed.
Good afternoon. My name is Julie Black with Oregon Bio, and I first of all want to say thank you for this opportunity to be able to report on the successful launch of the BioCatalyst program. When we first heard that we were granted the funds for the training, we wanted to reach out to our BioPro steering committee immediately. Our steering committee is an industry steering committee that helps run our BioPro training, which is a workforce training program. It's very successful. Our current members use that training program very regularly. So they have a lot of experience with vetting the instructors and class material, so they were a fantastic resource for us. And we reached out then to our membership, and we wanted to find out what challenges they were facing with hiring at the time, what type of job opportunities that they had coming up in the next 6 to 12 months, and any kind of feedback they could give us on what they were looking for that additional training to help with those new employees coming in. And from there, we... I'm so sorry.
The curriculum development. Yeah, I
think the curriculum development. Thank you. So from there, we reached out to. I apologize.
We forget how nerve-wracking
it is. I'm like totally. Yeah, and I didn't bring notes with me.
I feel the same way. Actually, chairing a committee for once.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's
so.
The things we're going to do today. Do you have any ideas? Any legislative proposals?
Because
the chair is out of the committee, so we can do what we want.
But we've all been there. We did learn a lot from our membership base, and so after we got together with our membership base, we were really looking for trends, what those hiring trends were going to be over the next 6 months. And we found that the Medical Device Foundation Certificate was going to be the best option for the BioCatalyst program. So the first couple of cohorts we launched were medical device. And about halfway through the program, and they were both very successful, we had great placement rates. And about halfway through the program, we were approached by Genentech, and they asked if we had a quality assurance certificate. And we spent some time researching that and reaching out again to our members, wanting to find out what type of quality assurance jobs they had coming up. And we were able to very quickly put this new cohort together with help of Genentech employees sitting down and going through the curriculum with us. And it was a very successful cohort. Mm-hmm. Genentech hired several graduates from that program, as well as some of our other member companies. And we learned a couple of great things after that cohort. We learned that this program was able to make, we were able to be very nimble. We were able to change the curriculum in our training to meet those specific job needs that were happening right then. And the other thing we learned is that the mixed cohorts were a great learning opportunity for our unemployed workers. We had industry coming in the classroom as well as unemployed, so we were able to really bring in some great breakout work group exercises in those training classes, and they were networking opportunities as well. So in addition to the great training through the program, we also had some wonderful resources. We reached out to industry again. We asked them to participate in job fairs and company tours and workshops. We had industry send their HR department over and give a presentation on the do's and don'ts of interviews in our workshops. We had a workshop based on researching a company culture, because we really want, of course, our graduates to get jobs, but we want them to get the right jobs. We want them to take the time to research that company and make sure it's a good fit. And I think probably one of the most important parts was the networking opportunities. Every single graduate had multiple opportunities to attend different events for networking. And we had professional photographers come in to put together a nice headshot. So we really made sure they had the whole package. We were able to help them fix their LinkedIn site and be able to send out their resumes in a very professional manner. But it was a wonderful experience. And I do have to say, and I'm sorry I fumbled through this, but it was one of the best parts of my job. I had a fantastic time. It was very rewarding, and I would like to thank you guys for that. It was truly an outstanding program for us. Industry also experienced some positive feedback, so I would like to finally turn this over to Will Fox, who has experience in both large and small industry, and he could speak to his experience with our program.
Ms. Black, before we do, I have a couple questions.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So could you help us picture this a little bit better, both in time frame and first remind us what the appropriation was? And if you said that earlier, Dennis, I apologize. What was the appropriation? How much? The timeline, I believe, was mid-2014. Mm-hmm. So how quickly did you ramp up? Where was this physically housed, and how large was the cohort? And I'll go back through any of those questions if you want. But I just want to kind of picture what we're talking about.
So I'll let Dennis.
I can jump in on the appropriation.
Sure.
So because it was somewhat complex, Business Oregon had some money in reserve to do some workforce training project, but not a big enough chunk mm-hmm. to do this whole thing. So they had $75,000, which was then added to with a quarter of $1 million, $250,000. So the total appropriation was $250,000, mm-hmm. but $75,000 had already been, and that was more or less earmarked to do a lot of the curriculum development. So mm-hmm. that was the sort of first 6 months after we'd gotten the appropriation confirmed. We immediately started on building and verifying what the curriculum would be. And Julie, of course, did most of that work. So.
Yeah, and to answer your question about the class sizes, we tried to keep them at 20. It's a great number for learning in the breakout sessions in the work group. So most of the classes were about 20, and occasionally we had a couple of cohorts where we mixed. We had 10 industry come in and 10 biocatalyst. So we ran. That's why we ran the extra cohorts, to make sure we trained over 100 biocatalyst candidates.
I can expand on that just a little bit. When Julie says industry, she means incumbent workers that are already employed at Genentech, and that catalytic effect of having people who are already working in the industry working with people who would like to work in the industry, I think, was powerful.
Right. And as far as location, a lot of our member companies hosted the training on site in their training rooms, which again was a really great opportunity for networking for the unemployed workers.
And where did you find both the incumbent employed workers and those who are unemployed in the cohort? And how many were, was it 100 unemployed in the cohort, or is that 100 combined?
Unemployed.
Okay, and where do they come from? I mean, how do you get them?
Yeah, so we posted some marketing on Craigslist. We had job boards. We reached out to our member companies, and if they had candidates that they were considering hiring, but they just didn't have the skill set to really land that job, they would refer those people to us and say, this is a great candidate. You know, if they had that bio training, that 80 hours of training, we would consider them for employment. Mm. And it was word of mouth and on LinkedIn. We had several different areas where we posted it. We also had a huge number of resumes coming in, and we had a contractor that helped us filter out those. Mm-hmm. And then for each cohort, we would select between 40 and 50 people for in-person interviews.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. How many applicants were there, and then 100 selected out of those?
I don't know that we've ever tallied all of the applicants, but for each cohort, we would receive a couple hundred.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions right now? Thanks. Mr. Fox.
Okay, yes. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Will Fox. I'm the Vice President of Marketing and Sales at RevMedics. We're a small medical device startup company in Wilsonville, and we specialize in hemorrhage control, trauma products for pre-hospital and military customers, and we sell globally. I've been in the medical device business for 24 years, and I've lived in Portland since 1997. During my time in Oregon, I've seen the companies I've been associated with struggle to find qualified employees that have the experience and training that our industry requires in terms of quality and regulatory compliance, FDA regulation, and clean room manufacturing processes. We have often had to spend thousands of dollars either recruiting qualified applicants from out of state or pay significant relocation expenses to attract people to move here to fill these roles. I've also seen the pressure put on my companies to relocate to areas where there's either a larger pool of talented workers to choose from, such as the Bay Area or Seattle. But now, with the BioCatalyst program, this tide has definitely changed. Instead of me telling you the reasons why this program is so important, I thought it'd be good to give you an example of how it makes a difference both for our company and many others. Let me tell you a quick story about one of our recent hires. Her name is Jane. She asked me not to give her a real name. Jane's a young, underemployed woman with a passion for products that can save lives, and she was a temporary worker that we had hired last year in our manufacturing area to assemble some of the components that we manufacture. Around the same time, our company was in the process of recruiting a quality assurance technician to lead our incoming inspections of some of our critical components, as well as implement many of the quality system processes that are required for medical device manufacturers such as us. When your products are used to stop severe bleeding in trauma patients, this is a very critical role in a company. Through our understanding of the BioCatalyst program, we encouraged Jane to enroll to gain the skills and training necessary to apply for this position. After taking a series of the sponsored classes in FDA regulations, clean room manufacturing processes, and quality systems management, Jane gained the background necessary to assume the role as quality assurance technician. So who benefited from this program? Well, Jane transitioned to a full-time role at a higher-paying job with a wide-open career path for her. RevMedix, my company, gained a dedicated employee with the required experience to meet our growth plans while also saving thousands of dollars on out-of-state recruiting and training fees. The state of Oregon and yourselves benefit in the fact that our company now potentially has access to a larger pool of qualified workers like Jane, as well as the assurance that RevMedix and other companies like us will have a strong reason to stay and grow in Oregon rather than move to other areas to access qualified candidates. With plans to grow our workforce by 50 to 75% in the next 12 months, I can tell you the BioCatalyst program can have a significant impact, not only for our company, but our local suppliers that we try to source components from locally and for the state of Oregon. So I urge you to provide permit support for this BioCatalyst program, and I'll take any questions.
That's a great story.
Well, I wasn't here in 2014, and so how much support have we given you up to this point? How big was the actual...
Representative McClain, he's old habits die hard.
He thanks you.
Tell her I was polite, okay?
We have a close connection. She thanks you for your reference.
She did pass the gavel to you, Representative Davis. Very supportive. In fact, I think it was a group risk. No one knew. I think Senator Devlin put it pretty succinctly, and when it was clear that we'd probably get this appropriation passed, he said, you know, don't be disappointed, Dennis, if you don't get 25%, right? That's a goal that's way up there. But every step along the way, when we needed help from an agency, and certainly in working with Karen Godden's team at Business Oregon, it was a very can-do. How do we improve the program? At one stage, there was a group of workers that were being laid off from a company, and that wasn't technically something we anticipated, dealing with people who were soon to be unemployed versus currently under or unemployed. So we went back and got clarification. They said the right thing to do is anticipate that these 40, 50 people are going to be unemployed. Let's not wait until they are technically eligible, because it was a foregone conclusion within weeks they were going to be. So I think that's the kind of attitude that really makes a program like this successful. So I guess that's mm-hmm. Now the problem, of course, that comes up is how do we make it sustainable? Mm-hmm. It was a public-private partnership, and I think the private sector is willing to continue with the deep involvement and sending their senior people to meetings and overseeing and serving on steering committees, but it does need that more consistent funding, and so we'll be looking for those sources, probably not through the legislative process so much as to go to the Talent Council, go to the State Employment Division, and see where it fits within their program. Okay. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
And how have the public funds been used? Because it sounds like there's been great partnership with industry, providing both tangible and intangible resources with meeting space, with staff time. And so what's the actual use of the state funds?
So the state funds are primarily focused on the instructors that we hire. So we hire the same instructors that we use in our incumbent worker training, well, except for those programs that were totally new, but we would go out and solicit. So none of the funds went to supporting any of the industry participation portion. It was mainly our staff time, facility rentals, meals and instructors, some marketing, and then some money to do curriculum development across the state. I think it's important to note that the program is ready to go statewide. We didn't have the money originally appropriated to handle travel for the instructors, for example, but I've talked with workforce specialists in Eugene and Bend and Medford, and that they have the same needs that the metro area has, and I think sprinkling these cohorts in other parts of the state would be a really effective use of future dollars.
I have one more question. Do you use volunteers? I mean, people can volunteer for you at any given, I mean, companies are volunteering their workers.
Yep.
But I mean, there's some, you know, you talked about interviewing and old speech coaches and old English teachers that do interviewing on a regular basis with their kids, because we used to do that in our senior seminar class as well. But I mean, there are some skills that you might pick up some volunteers that, you know, if you can't get people to travel from a particular company, there probably are people in a geographic area that could fill in that volunteer role. Yeah,
unfortunately, on the instruction side, Representative McLean, it's so specialized, FDA regulatory, quality control. However, we do tap into experts that volunteered to teach some of the soft skill areas. So interviewing, social media, presenting yourselves. Only when we absolutely had to did we spend money on the soft skill part of that. But but while you hit the volunteer area, we encourage them to volunteer at industry events within our annual conference or other places where they could expose themselves to hiring executives or potential coworkers, because that's a great way to network your way into an industry.
Okay. Thanks.
We have another panel.
I also assured them that this was the nicest committee in Salem, right? So
it's about to get intense.
Yeah.
Okay. Gloves are coming off. At your pleasure, please introduce yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and Committee, for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Rob Copenhaver. I'm an employee of UBAVAC and DesignMatics, both of which are small startup companies in the Portland area. I appreciate the opportunity to tell my story. It started about 1 year ago. I was surprised and scared to find out that my position with the company in Vancouver was eliminated. And I was facing unemployment. So searching for opportunities and wondering what I was going to do next, I came across information about the BioCatalyst program. And I saw it as a great opportunity to bolster my skills, brush up on a few things that maybe I hadn't done in the workplace in a little while, and gain some new skills and meet some new people. What I didn't realize at the time was that while the program definitely delivered on the educational front, the real value came from the community that it creates. It really created a community of job seekers and employers looking for talented workers. And through the variety of opportunities, just the mix of different opportunities to interact with people, whether it's being on site at the companies that were hosting us or the networking events in the evenings, we really got to know people and create a community feel that included the other students as well. So in a job search situation, having colleagues that are facing similar things, people that you can talk to, people who can you can get feedback on your resume in a low-risk environment. People who get jobs who end up in new positions who can tell you about opportunities within their company. Ultimately, in my job search process, I had an offer from a company in California, very well-respected company, a very nice offer. Ultimately, I decided to stay in Oregon because I really felt that biotech has a chance here, and I think that the BioCatalyst program greatly influenced that decision and gave me the optimism and confidence to take two positions with startup companies in Portland. And I'm happy to say that both of those companies are doing really, really well. We're facing growth, I now have a problem that they both want to bring me on full-time, and I have to pick one. And we're looking to ramp up some hiring on our own. And as I'm now on the other side of the table with the in the company perspective, thinking about where are we going to go to find qualified candidates to fill the roles, I'm talking with Julie, and I'm looking to Oregon Bioscience and hoping that in the future there's additional candidates going through this program that we can look to. And I'll also say, as far as the quality of the instructors, I've reached out to several of them, and we're in the process of hiring a couple of them as consultants to do work for us and because of the expertise and the quality of the instructors. So with that, I think I want to thank you again for the opportunity to share my story, and I'll pass the mic unless you have any questions.
I think we'll hold questions until the panel's complete, if you don't mind, but thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Abate. I'm a quality engineer for Genentech in the Quality Engineering Validation Department. My testimony is a little emotional, so I'm going to read it, if you don't mind.
That's great.
But I do want to start by saying it's an honor to be here in front of this committee and representing the Oregon Bioscience Association, particularly the BioCatalyst program. My story started in December 2012 when my wife, Susie, was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. We spent the next 6 months in and out of hospitals while she received chemo and ultimately a bone marrow transplant. A couple of months later, in January of 2014, my company that I was working for, a high-tech company, decided to close their Oregon business unit and laid off me and 60 of my coworkers. I didn't realize it at the time, but that was a blessing because 2 weeks later, my wife was diagnosed again and relapsed with her leukemia. So it was God's way of making me available to her at that time. You know, the next 9 months found us searching for a cure through clinical trials of monoclonal antibodies. We went up to Seattle to do that. And there's no way I could have been working, but I was still looking and thinking about what I was going to do next. You know, mostly I prayed a lot. Then in December of 2014, I got contacted unsolicited by, I don't know if I'm saying the last name right, Mark Saltvian?
Saltvian.
Through LinkedIn, and he sent me a connection request, and I reached out to him, what's this about? You know, I don't usually just accept those type of things, and that's how I found out about the BioCatalyst program.
Wow.
And in the back of my mind, I had been thinking about changing from software quality assurance and high tech into something that would make a difference. And, you know, working with people or for people like my wife. So I went and I learned things like lean manufacturing, fault mode event analysis, FDA regulations, and certification through ISO 14384 and pharmaceutical certification and all the soft skills that go with that and quality systems. It was really an amazing amount of information in a relatively short amount of time, but I absorbed it like a sponge because I was so invested in it. At this time, my wife, you know, was not doing so great, but not doing so bad. So I had the time to do that, and I found people to help her out. And at the end of the certification process, there was a job fair, and that's where I met the fine folks at Genentech. It was at that job fair. So after talking to them and then applying for a position there, I had now the skills and to interview for that job and get that job. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks after I started, my wife passed away. But I know that she was proud of me, that I had done what I did, and that I was going to work towards people, saving people's lives like her. So I am really grateful for the opportunity. By the time I took the the classes, I was just about out of money, and you know, medical bills had piled up, et cetera. So it was really great that I didn't have to pay for the classes. I don't know if I could have taken it otherwise. And it's changed my life. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with us. You never know where a little crack in an open door is going to lead you, and it's delightful to have you here sharing this today. So thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome.
Hi, good morning. Afternoon, Madam Chair and the members of the committee. My name is Emily Ettinger, and I work at Genentech in quality assurance. And I'm also a graduate of the BioCatalyst program. So my journey with them started in 2014 in December when I was laid off from my job working in research. So I had a background in biology and research and technology, but I was really interested in going into biotech, but was really discouraged that I wasn't really qualified for a lot of those positions. I knew the research, but I didn't know anything about manufacturing. So when I saw the BioCatalyst program, I got really excited because it was an opportunity to learn about biotech, what actually happens there. And then also I knew that networking was a big part of it, which was very important to me. I knew that that was the way that I was going to be able to go from being unemployed to finding my next job. So fortunately, I was accepted into the program, and the classes were really, really excellent. I was really impressed with the level of training, with the quality of the education that I received. And what it gave me was a quality mindset and tools so that I would be able to really do some good work in these FDA-regulated environments, something I didn't know anything about before I started that program. But what was great was that my involvement with Oregon Bio didn't just stop there. You know, they continue to host networking events for us, and I went to every single one of them, you know, trying to talk to as many people as I could and, you know, make those connections. And so actually at two different events, I was able to talk to folks at Genentech, and that led me down the path to being hired last June in quality assurance. So I really do credit my success to the Oregon BioCatalyst program. I know that I wouldn't have had those conversations. I wouldn't have had those opportunities without that program. And I do wish that everyone who was facing unemployment had that kind of support in their industry or industry they were interested in. And I just feel extremely grateful to be a part of the program and then now to be in Genentech. So thank you for giving me a couple minutes to share.
Thank you so much for being here. Panel, do you have questions?
So,
Representative Lively.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Mr. Copenhaver, so I didn't understand when you started. I'm trying to understand your background. So are you in quality assurance too, or are you in some other aspect of the business?
So my background and training is in both business and biotechnology, so okay. Mostly on the R&D side.
Okay.
And one of my positions now is heavily involved with the quality assurance.
Okay. Thank you.
I do have a question, and I apologize for having to zig and zag a little bit today. So I'll go back and look at the testimony on OLIS. It's recorded there, so I will make sure and do that. But how long did your program take? What was the from start to finish?
Question.
How long did this take you to complete?
Yeah, Madam Chair and members of the committee, my cohort was about 6 weeks. So it wasn't an every day back-to-back kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There were half days or full days, and from start to finish was about 6 weeks.
And how many in your cohort?
The folks in my cohort, I would say, were about 20.
Okay.
And you, sir?
We were actually in the same class.
Classmates.
Yeah, right. We go way back.
All right, and pardon me if you've already testified to this, but I'd be curious as to how often you start a new cohort. How many in a year are running through this program? What's the capacity at this point in time?
Yes, Madam Chair, I think that maybe either Dennis or Julie are more qualified, because I only attended the one.
Okay. I think Dennis will be back up, so you can answer when you come back up. But I'd be delighted to know a little bit more about how many of you are coming through the program.
I'm jealous.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, Vice Chair Davis.
I just want to add, thank you, Chair, and thank you for taking the time to come to the Capitol today. This has really been a tremendous presentation. A couple of us have served on this committee since we entered the legislature in early 2013, and continually heard the theme over and over. I didn't know what to expect coming on the Economic Development Committee. You know, we hear about regulation and taxes and other issues of importance. But the single theme that has struck me since day one of this committee has been the need for a prepared workforce in Oregon, and a mismatch that so often occurs in times of economic turmoil between those who have the labor and want a job but don't have the skills. And we are continually searching for these programs that might work and might help, and is it a state agency to prop up? And I remember when this ask came in 2014, and it struck a number of us as, this might be interesting, this might actually work. And it is just really tremendous to hear about something that really was a rather small contribution that the state made that is making a tremendous difference in your lives. It's meeting a specific need of an industry, is meeting a specific sort of growth cell that we have in the state for an industry. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to update us, and I feel real good about that investment that we made. Great. Thank you.
Representative McLean has a question.
Mine is really more of a comment as well. I was just so excited to hear your stories and hear your stories of success. When I was a school teacher for 43 years, and to our seniors, we kept telling them, especially in the last 5 to 7 years, that there's a possibility that you'll have to retrain for a job anywhere from 5 to 7 times in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. And your grandparents and your parents usually picked a job, and that was their career. And so they were in it, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And so I really appreciated what the representative had to say, because it's this type of program that offers that transition opportunity for training that we absolutely have to have if we want our really good educated workers that have worked hard to be able to have a few more skills to get on to the next level or the different type of job that is appropriate for that coming year, that coming industry, or that coming product. So I just appreciate you, and I think you guys are going to be finding all kinds of jobs as far as including the administrators of this program in trying to help us duplicate you in different places with different industries and different workers and different future workers for these companies. But thank you for being here. It was one of the most pleasant meetings I've had all week long.
Yes. We're glad to hear that, Representative. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I believe Mr. McNanny will be back up.
Yes, but first we'll hear from one more industry.
And Mr.
Betschart.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for coming to our committee today. We're delighted you're here.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair McEwen, and members of the community. Like everyone else, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and speak with you. I'm Ken Betschart, and I represent Genentech. Of course, you've heard of a couple of our employees. We are Oregon's largest biotech manufacturing company here in the state. And if you're not familiar with what Genentech and what we do, we really research medicines, manufacture medicines, and distribute medicines that are for life-saving needs. We've been doing this here in the state since 2008. I'm the director of learning, as well as I oversee operational excellence and supply chain operations for the site. I want to start by saying that our organization really supports the ongoing funding appropriation for BioCatalyst. We've been a huge proponent of it over the last year and a half or so. But really, you know, it didn't really start with BioCatalyst. I would say traditionally our involvement at Genentech has really been with external workforce training, has been really to increase the knowledge of our existing employees, mm-hmm. not future employees. And we've done that through Oregon Biosciences existing courses, what they call the bio program. And over the last several years, we've had dozens and dozens and dozens of employees go through these programs and these very highly specialized and unique training courses that are offered, things of of manufacturing in a regulated environment, technical writing in a science atmosphere, failure modes and effects, and highly things that are way above my pay grade. Let's just say that. But with the addition of this public and private partnership program in BioCatalyst, we as Genentech really continue to see the opportunity to grow the pool of talent here in the state, which is extremely, extremely important to us. You know, this is a needed area to expand the workforce because we often find ourselves having to import talent from outside the state on a pretty regular basis and have since we came to the state back in 2007. And I think the other thing, important thing is that if we continue to invest in this workforce, the biotech industry will remain relevant and viable within the state, right? Because if you can't continue to feed this industry, we won't really have the talent pool to be able to grow it in the future. You know, BioCatalyst has been successful to Genentech, as demonstrated by Emily and, of course, by Jim. But we really view our role within this program as one of in kind, one that really maintains program oversight, mentors candidates themselves, help design curriculum, teach prospective students, and, of course, recruit from BioCatalyst candidates and BioCatalyst graduates themselves. So with that, I just want to reemphasize that our organization supports the ongoing appropriation of BioCatalyst. I'll be happy to take questions.
Thank you, sir. Questions?
I have a question.
Vice Chair Davis.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Can you talk about what those in-kind contributions to the program have looked like?
Sure. So pretty much on a regular basis, we will have portions from our organization teach courses themselves or help design curriculum itself. So we say, hey, in this industry, this is the kind of skill sets we're looking for. Let us help you design the curriculum and help you teach it within these programs so that when they come on board, they're familiar with our techniques and our nomenclature that we work with on a regular basis. We have a number of people that will volunteer their time from the organization, and we're more than happy to do that because in the long run, we see the payback for it.
Great. I just had a thought as you were talking about being able to recruit people from within the state and not having to bring them from without the state. We do have a housing problem in Oregon. And I'm going to look at this as your generous contribution to our housing crisis.
Well, look what it's done to your property value.
Unintended consequences, but thank you very much. Mr. McNanny, did you have any final words to say?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like yesterday we were talking about doing this program, and now we're talking about the results of it. And when I was trying to capture that in a title, I didn't really initially think of it as a public-private partnership, but really that's what made it successful all the way along the way. And I think government functions better and industry functions better when there is that. When we're talking about a successful program in a room like this, rather than debating all of the other things that we commonly debate. And I think we need to grasp these opportunities to continue building trust between public and private, because the citizens who observe these processes often don't see the success, like in a measurable way. And then we've got this rare opportunity to deliver that. So I think the pilot served its purpose. It proved that this can be done. I think it can be done for other industries besides ours. I think we can play a very key role. I know that, for example, both the Northwest Food Processors and the cleantech industry has looked at this program and said, we have similar problems. But what they don't have, as Ken talked about, is a seven-year history of doing their own workforce training, and that was all incumbent training. And that's what really set us up for success, provided we could access the training dollars. And I really do think this fits well within either the division, the employment division, or the talent council as its next step. But we would embrace the opportunity to do a pilot similar to this in either of those two industries, and I think we will only get better at doing this as we learn more and more about it. On a personal level, I'm going through a transition. We are currently recruiting the next executive director, and this is one of maybe only three programs that I've put at the very top of the stack for the reasons you heard today. You had an opportunity to impact people and the economy of Oregon at the same time. And it's just been very gratifying experience for me. I hope that my successor has as much success and cooperation as I've had in this program. And I would encourage you to continue thinking about ways of exploiting the success, because successes tend to build on each other. And I can take any questions people might have.
Thank you. I wanted to follow up with the question that I think targeted it, not quite the right audience, but you have a six-week group where your cohort moves through the program. How often are you running that cohort? How many people a year do you run through your program?
So to not confuse the two programs, BioPro has existed for 7 years, and it's ongoing. It isn't structured as a cohort. Those are just ad hoc classes that they may sponsor depending on the needs of the employer. The funding, what that allowed us to do, was structure these cohorts in various ways. Some were immersion, so it was 80 hours over literally 2 weeks. I mean, so it was classic immersion. And then for other circumstances, we'd stretch it over 6 weeks, depending on the needs of the people we had recruited for that cohort. And not being a math major, but we had six cohorts. We were going to train 100 people. We hit that average of 20 because we interspersed incumbent workers who happened to want to have that class under their belt. So it was, and it turned out to be one of the most catalytic elements of it. So now you have five people that work at Genentech. They're just there for a couple classes because that fit their calendar. So we were able to integrate them in. Initially, it was designed to do it as totally separate. I don't know what made us think that was going to be more successful than seeding it, because then they get to interact with people who are already in industry. Mm-hmm. And you cannot place a value on that sort of interaction.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your attention.
Questions? All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for being
here
today.
Thank you so much for the fun.
We have one other who would like to join us. Mr. Esmond, did you have something you wanted to add to the conversation today?
Yeah. Yes.
Please come to the dais. We're delighted you're here, sir.
Chairman McEwen, vice chairs, members of the committee, for the record, Joe Esmond, business agent of IBW Local 48. I am here in support of this effort, what they've done, and even more so. About the time I turned 66 last December, I was asked to kind of help by Mr. McNanny and some other people to keep biotech, the industry, here in Oregon. Some of you may remember the headline, Vancouver gets biotech at the Red Lion. Hello. So being in this position for many years, you get into industrial land and economic development. If you don't have that, our people ain't going to go to work, as they say. So 2002, before probably all you were here, I got involved in ballot measuring a bill to take science at a university and allow private money to come in with venture capital. And I call it the Austin-Boston model. Mm. One day I was in blue jeans, the next day I'm up with the head of Intel's house in a fundraiser with a bunch of politicians, and here I am today. So sorry
for you.
Yeah. It's okay. It's a special pew in heaven for us.
We're going to count on that.
Yes. I also have a son in the medical field, so I have interest in this. And to me, it dovetails also with the CTE STEM programs.
Certainly.
And maybe the manufacturing thing might happen in Scopus, here's something you can go to right here. So at the business summit, I took some of Mr. McNanny's people, and being very shy, I grabbed the business representative of Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley and other people, and say, went to the mayor of Portland, John Moles, which was awkward. But we got to do something. We don't want these people to go away. We don't want them to go to San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera. Why we spend these money, these people come here, they want to incubate, get going, and we want to do the next step someplace, maybe Portland area or someplace else. So I don't know. Actually, I had a two-hour meeting this morning with this very subject. How do we get these people to stay here and not get recruited? Yes, and we've even offered some pension funds to help build a building. So, anyway, thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, I'll take them. I'm also speaking for John Molas, too, who's someplace else.
Questions for Mr. Edmonds. Thank you, Joe, for being here. I appreciate your good work, as always, and you're welcome in our committee anytime.
Thank you.
I believe on that note, we will close our informational hearing. Is there anything else for the good of the order this afternoon? We have listed on our agenda a public hearing, possible work session on two bills. They are placeholder bills for economic development. It is time for those bills to go the way of a lot of bills this session. Quietly off into the sunset, so we will not be acting on those this afternoon. I do not believe so, unless there's something emergent that I'm not aware of.
Chair,
Mr. Brennan.
Friday, I believe we were planning not to meet Friday. We've received one Senate bill so far. Our deadline for posting a Senate bill for public hearing is tomorrow at 3 o'clock, so it's likely we won't get another one before. We can start Monday with Senate Bill 1589, which is Senator Rosenbaum's Credit Enhancement Fund bill, maybe.
All right.
I'm just asking, really, more, should we, question mark? Does that sound good?
Everyone? Well, I think those of us who live out of the area are going to make a run for home Friday afternoon, then.
Mm-hmm. That works.
Representative Langley, is that... Representative Bentz?
Every day, so.
Okay. On that note, we are adjourned. Thank you all.
Does that sound okay to skip?
A beautiful afternoon.